Thank you, ma'am.
I'd like to give this microphone so that you can give just a short story, his testimony of what happened yesterday.
Okay, first of all, my name is Stephen Johnson, and I went down to the Bridge, which is a homeless shelter in downtown, to visit some friends and some little brothers that I have down there. And the ministry was there, and they was preaching to the guys, and I just walked up, and I was just standing and listening. And like the sister say, she say, you were standing there, you ain't walk away. And it's like I was telling my mom and a couple of guys, I'm a member of Eastside Church of Christ in Garland. And anytime I hear the word, whether it's being somebody passing down the street, or we at the church, or I'm at Dallas International Street Church, the word sets my spirit on fire. And I just want to listen, and I eat it up, and I eat it up, and I eat it up. So I was listening, and then it just, the sister say the Lord just led her to me, and she was crying, and I was just shocked, really, because for the last week, I've been sleeping outside, South Dallas, East Dallas, Oak Cliff. I didn't have the money to pay my rent, so dude kicked me out. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about his hardships and his weaknesses, and he says he know what it is to thirst. And I know what it is to thirst. I know what it is to go hungry. I know what it is to go downtown and wait till McDonald's or church is closed and go and eat the food out the dumpster. I know what it is not to have change of clothes, how to go 3 or 4 days without having a shower, no hot water, sneaking in somebody's backyard with a bar of soap and use their water hose just to get clean. But I thank God that help came yesterday. Health-wise, I'm bipolar. I got bipolar 1. I've been cutting on my arm for almost 11 years now. And at first, I was in prison when I started cutting my first 5th year. And like I said, I didn't have no family, no friends. I didn't have no money, nobody to send me pictures, nobody to write me letters, and I gave up. Now I cut because I hold my anger in. I don't express my feelings. I don't like talking to just know anybody about my feelings. And I hold it in. And like one day at the Bridge, I just held it in till I couldn't hold it no more. And I punched the metal door one time and knocked the whole frame off. So I know if I hit somebody else, I'm either gonna kill them or seriously hurt them. So I cut on my arm, take it out on myself to keep from hurting somebody else. The doctors diagnosed me with congestive heart failure and reduced function of the heart. I had 2 strokes in August and a heart attack the first week of September. 40% of my heart is not functioning right. I'm on a breathing machine with asthma, and the blood is not putting enough oxygen through my body to sufficiently have oxygen, so I'm on a breathing machine 4 times a day. I have seizures, and that's about it. But I have prayed for healing, and I believe Jesus got the final answer. He's the great physician over everyone. And if you have faith, all you got to do is believe. Like, it's like the lady that had the issue of blood, and she went and touched the hem of Jesus' garment to get healing. She knew if she can just touch his garment that she would be healed. And Jesus was like, who touched me? And the disciple says, Jesus, you around here with a crowd of people, a whole bunch of people. No, he was like, who touched me? Because it's a significant, it wasn't the fact that he was touching a multitude of people. It was the fact that she had enough faith to say, if I just touch him, I can be healed. And just like she believed that she could be in touch, if I had a him right now, I'd be touching him because I know I'm healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Yeah.
To steal your thunder. Glory to God. I thank God for this young man. And what he did not tell you, through it all, actually we declared healing on this whole altar this morning. So I bind every word that came out of your mouth, no offense, but I got to speak God. When we declare healing, it's done. whatever comes out of your mouth, the Bible says life and death is in the power of the what? Tongue. We came up here and I felt that anointing so strong. The Lord, before the sister spoke that we come and declare healing, the Lord spoke it to me. I moved slowly. She moved quickly. I came, and that's why I laid hands on everybody that came and reached out to everybody, because the Lord was speaking. You said there was an anointing in here, and you felt the oppression. I did too, and the Lord has fixed it. So in order for you to be healed completely, you got to declare it. Don't speak against it. Speak for it. Don't speak about the issue. Speak to it that it's gone in Jesus' name. Also, what else the Lord did for you? All these weeks and all these days you've been sleeping in the cold. Where did you sleep last night?
In the Royal Inn Hotel.
The who?
Royal Inn Hotel.
The royal. We are a royal priesthood in a holy nation. The Lord spoke to somebody and told them to go get this man. And we went to the luxury room that the Lord put him in, and fluffy pillows and blankets and a bed and air conditioner and a TV. Things that we take for granted, right? And last night you got a chance to experience God. It's only the beginning of things to come. So when you begin to believe and think that way, more will come, and I'm asking for help for the church. This young man is still homeless. After today, he's leaving that Royal Inn and probably got to go back. We don't want to send him back, all right? So we're asking the church for support and for help. Whatever you can pour into his bosom today, we'd appreciate it, okay? And the young lady, I don't know if you want to come speak, Kathy. She was kind of hesitant. He brought Kathy to us. When he made the phone call to my daughter, she said, Mom, Stephen has a young lady with him who's hungry. She's 8 months pregnant. She has not eaten. Do you mind me telling this story? Do you mind me telling it? Okay. She was hungry and had not eaten. So I said, she's how far gone? 8 months pregnant. All I could think about was the baby and her, but the baby. I'm like, oh, my God. So we met him at a Carrollton train station, took a pizza. Brandis purchased it. The Lord just led her, and she was obedient. And he'd been protecting her because they were both homeless on the streets. Can you imagine being pregnant and homeless? My God. Well, praise be ye to God. She's no longer homeless. We've taken her into our home. We need your help. That's all I'm going to say. All right?
All right. Thank you, Johnson. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. We ask you guys to be praying for the team that goes out every Saturday. For you know what, when you go there, you know you have no alternative. Sometimes you carry their pain, and you bring the pain with you to your home. And you know the only thing you can do is direct it to God. Amen. But I thank God, you know, for the ministry. You know, we never know what we have until we get out of the four corners of our church. It's powerful when you get out of the four corners. You appreciate what the Lord has given you. Praise the Lord. And, you know, you quit complaining and murmuring over the simple things that we go through, because we all do that. Praise the Lord. So, 10 souls came to Christ. Oh, yeah, and 10 souls came to the Lord. Amen. It was beautiful. So turn your Bibles into the book of James, chapter number 3. Verse number 1. And as we go there, I hope you brought in the things that you... that we're going to use this Saturday for outreach. If you didn't bring them, please go into your home. We need warm clothes for winter. If you have a jacket that you don't use, somebody will, you know, can use it. If you have a sweater or whatever it is, you know, like covers that you don't use, bring them. I tell you what, somebody will be so appreciative that you did, and they will not be sleeping in the cold. Praise the Lord. Amen. Last Sunday, I was speaking about the tongue, words that come out of our mouth, and I felt like today I was going to finish up. I hope that I'll have enough time to finish up, because I realize words are very, very vital, and when we speak them, sometimes we fail to recognize the magnitude of words over our lives. Amen. And I just want us to go into the book of James, chapter number 3. That was our text last week. And I just want to go through it just one more time. If you can join me in this journey, I'm going to really go pretty fast to just make you catch up, some of you who are not here, catch up with what we discussed last week. And then I'm going to hopefully conclude on what that I left last week. Praise the Lord. The book of James, chapter number 3, verse number 1 to 12. James, chapter number 3, verses number 1 to 12. I'll begin from verse number 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways, and that's very true. We all, as human beings, stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Verse number 3, when we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder whenever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is in itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. Verse number 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Verse number 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go through this scripture, Lord, and as we check on it, Lord, and as we consider it this morning, Father, I pray that you shall inspire us, Lord, even to hear us, Lord. I take captive every mind, Father, that we shall be captivated and focused on this word, O Father. Speak through us, Lord, briefly, even as we check on this word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. I happen to love documentaries on National Geographic. How many of you watch National Geographic? You know, I really love that channel because sometimes it takes me to places that I'll never, maybe ever go. Like, for example, there was this volcanic activity that I watched, you know, the bubbling of the molten lava coming out of the deep, you know, and as it flows. And there was also this documentary that I was watching, you know, a volcano that took place in a sea. And you can see how the molten lava is moving and through the water, and it's crossing a mountain. And as you see this panorama, you know, you just wonder and you stay in awe and you see, wow, this is the majestic of the Lord, how the earth can boil with such intensity. But you know what, as I was checking and I was watching this documentary, and as I was seeing this molten lava just flowing out, I could just imagine what would be going in underneath it. You know, this molten lava, as I was watching it, you know, flow, I really knew without any shadow of a doubt that, you know, it emanated from a source. And I could only imagine, you know, the intensity of the fire, the temperature that was under the ground. And this is what happens with words. You know, words are not independent. The words that come out of your mouth never exist independently, okay? But words that we speak every single day, whether in a conversation, whether in a discussion, whether is in any forum, words that come out of your mouth are attached to somewhere. There is a source where those words come from. Praise be to God. And the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of your heart, the what does what? The mouth speaks. So words are never independent. They're dependent on a source, you know, and they flow out of an abundance, out of the overflow of your heart, out of the richness of your heart. Words come out, and the content of those words just tell us what is in your heart. Now, there's one thing I want you to know. that only, the Bible says that only a man and God knows their heart. You know, I can spend all eternity, I can spend all the time that I would want with you, but if you wouldn't, if you'd never release or tell me what was in your heart, I would never know it, you know? Because only a man and God knows what is in your heart. Right now, as you're looking at me, some of you might be meditating something in your heart, but that thing is only limited to the knowledge of yourself. It is only you. You know, you could be seated as most of us are this morning, seated next to your spouse. But something could be going through their heart that the other spouse would never ever know what they're going through in their hearts. Because the Bible says only a man and God knows what? Knows what? Knows the heart of a man. But you know what? I can sometimes know, you also can sometimes know what the contents of a man's heart is. And how do you know that? By how they speak. The content of the words that come out of their mouth. You can know whether a person, what the content of the, somebody's heart, whether they're evil, by the words that they speak. You know? You've worked with people and you've heard people how they speak, and you wonder, what planet do these people live? Because even in a normal conversation, there is so much curse words that are incorporated until it is part of their conversation. It's like a day to day. It's like before they can even say hello, they are saying, hey, hello, and they want to include something that is evil. You know? And you wonder, have you ever been with people and you feel aggravated? You feel like you want to separate yourself, or you feel you want to get out of that place because there's so much intensity of evil that is coming out of them. And you know what? That tells you what is in their hearts. Praise the Lord. And last week we saw that words are like a stream. You know, every stream that flows, whether it is downstream through a mountain, it comes from a source, okay? And whether that stream is coming from a reservoir underground on top of the mountains, flowing downstream, whether you like it or not, the contents of the water that are flowing down on that river came from the reservoir. So if the reservoir was salty, you expect the water to be salty. If the reservoir was clean and purified, you expect the water to be purified and clean. That's how the words are. So by how you speak, the contents of your words, praise be to God, can reveal what your heart is. You know, I can stay with somebody just a few minutes and I can know where they're going. Or where their destiny is going. Are they headed towards destruction? Are they headed towards a bright future? Are they headed towards I can tell who a person is by the contents of their words. So words are never independent. Praise be to God. And as I'm studying these scriptures and this lesson, the Lord is helping me to be wary of the words that I speak, because once the words have been released, they can never be retrieved back. You know, we can play on a cassette. You know, those of us who used to live those days, we can play back on a cassette, and you know, on a song that you really, really like and you really missed it, you can rewind it back, you know. Oh, I need, how many of you have done that? Even when you're driving, man, or it could be a message that you're listening to. You know, maybe Pastor Tony is really blessing you, and you go, and you can start again. It could be maybe your favorite preacher, T.D. Jakes, maybe, or maybe your favorite song, maybe Sister Zippy singing, and she's blessing you so much. And oh man, I really need to hear those words. And you know, and you're blessed, right? But let me tell you, church, words that come out of your mouth, unless they are recorded, they will never be retrieved. So it is very, very important for us to mark our words. Words that are directed not to our children. Words that are directed to our spouses. Have we ever said some hurtful things to our spouses? I was telling the church last week that, you know what, when I got married, there's some words that, you know, when you remarried, you don't know nothing. You know, you are independent. You're living your life. And there you are. Somebody comes and gets into your life. And now you start living together. And, you know, when they come into your life, they want to tell me how my bed ought to stay, whether the pictures, I had so many pictures on the wall, She comes and removes every picture. Hello? You know, somebody comes and just takes over your life. And in the process, because I was so used to living alone and doing things the way I used to be doing them, you know, I was a little bit taken a push, being pushed back, you know. It's like somebody's pushing your limits and pushing your independence, you know. And my wife tells me today, when I try to recollect when I said those words, I cannot really remember. But she can really tell me exactly when, and I think we had come from a prayer meeting in the church. Imagine. And I called her stupid. And today she told me, you know what, you'd call me stupid. I still remember many, many years ago that I called her stupid. And she can tell, you told me. I remember we even had to come from a prayer meeting, and I don't know what I did, and you called me stupid. And I said, me, Pastor Tony, call you stupid? And I said, oh God, how powerful words are. And let me tell you, with the time, I've told God, help me so that I can really think and retrace or really phrase my statements correctly, because I know once those words have come out, they have power to build and they have power to destroy. You can break your life by the words that you speak towards yourself, or you can build your life by the words that come out of your mouth. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that with words, some of us have wrecked our lives. You know? Because, you know, you might be in a class, and don't say because I'm looking at you, and maybe because the mathematics is so difficult, and you say, me, I can never get this math. I hate even my teacher. I don't like this math. I hate algebra. I hate statistics. I don't like it. Even the sight of it, I don't like. Let me tell you, the words that you speak that you hate it, let me tell you, they have power. And they will take ground. You know what? They will solidify the fact that you hate it. Even though, you know what? All you need to do is a divine connection for somebody to come and tell you algebra is not difficult. If only you can just take it cool and can stay cool and collected, you can get how to do these things. You know? All you need is somebody. Let me tell you. When I was in high school, I can't count myself to be one of the brightest kids there was. To be honest with you, I'm one of those, you know, Tony is a very bright guy, by the way, to those of you who didn't know. That's why he's laughing at me. You know, because he cannot understand how I could go and read and read, and him, he just looks at the book, just one page, and keeps the book. Is that not true? Is that not true, Hannah? Yes. Anyways, when I was in school, I had this problem of the same that, things that I'm telling you. I could not even, I really, really had problem, you know, knowing them or keeping the mathematical, what do you call them, formulas, and you know, and that was a really, really problem for me. And so what I realized that, you know what, if I really, really want to get these things and go, I have to go far, I have to hook up myself with the big boys. You know, we used to call them the big boys. They always used to hang out together. They used to study more. Every time you come in class, they are stealing. They are bookworms. You know, we used to call them bookworms. They are studying there. Every you wake up and you think that you beat them in the morning. You wake up at 4. The guy is still there, man. And you wonder, well, did they ever sleep? So I realized that, you know, if I had to make it, I had to hook up with these guys. And slowly by slowly, I started befriending them. You know, sometimes we would go share a meal together, and I would really try to befriend them. They didn't want me because, you know, they want bright kids to be among them. But I forced myself with them because I really needed something. And you know what? There was this guy, I'll never forget his name. His name was Daniel Kyongo. This guy really, I don't know, he was so compassionate. He really saw that I was really struggling. And that guy picked me like he would his little brother. And he started, you know, sometimes he would teach me, I would go to him again. I would not understand. I would go back. I would tell him, oh, yeah, I understand. And then when I'm going to do it on myself, how many of you? You're laughing because you've been there before. A teacher is really trying to explain something to you, and because you don't want to look stupid, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You tell the teacher, oh, yes, I get it. I get it. I get it. But in the closet, oh, what did that teacher say? My God, what was that formula? And you're picking up the phone. Oh, Pastor Karanja, can you remember? We're in the same class. You remember? Oh, you take care of yourself. You know? And so that's how I loved mathematics. It's not because I was wise or I was born knowing mathematics, but I hooked myself. God led me and give me wisdom to hook up myself with people who know it. So, you know, let me tell you, words are very, with the words that you continue to proclaim every day or to confess, if you confess negatively, I tell you for sure, those words are going to get hold of you. Right. Are you listening to me? And you know what? Therefore, if those words come from a certain place, because words will never, you will never speak out of something that has, you have not first of all thought about. You know, it's because out of the abundance, out of the abundance, are you listening to me, saints of God? Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So words, your heart is the resource. Praise the Lord. Your heart is the resource. And you know what? It is like a treasure. My question to you this morning, and I posed this question as I was preaching last Sunday, what kind of a treasure do you have? What a kind of a chest house, treasure chest do you have? You could be having some good treasures, or you could be having some bad treasures. If you have some good treasures in you, then out of those treasures will flow some good words. Words that will build, words that will encourage, words that will continue to promote somebody, words that are not jealous, words that, you know, you're thinking other people as better than you. Have you ever been in a position whereby you saw somebody and you are so delighted that God is blessing them and you're celebrating them and you're telling God thank you and you don't have any envy and you're feeling, God, I thank you for what you're doing for my brother James. God, I thank you for what you're doing for my sister Brandis. I'm so grateful for what you're doing for the Julius family. But have you also been in a place whereby, you know what I'm trying to say? Somebody, God just blessed you, friend of yours that you so love. And you know what? You're communicating every day. Oh, my God, he got that. And you disconnect your phone. You never talk to them anymore. You prayed for them, and every time you want to pray, you feel like you want to speak a curse. God, why? You know, if they have been blessed with a nice car, can that car go hit a pole when this guy is asleep? Can their children even begin to be sick? You know? You know what? You're saying like, that's what you said? You know, there are people who think like that. Maybe in the circle of your friends, there are people who think that on your behalf. They are looking down for your destruction. They are looking down for your downfall. They are looking down for the time when they will think, they will hear that you don't have anything in your bank account. They are actually proud when they hear you talk about your struggles. They rejoice and they can take that to the bank. We got to watch out the people that we work with. I don't want to hang out with somebody who every time is proud when I'm when I'm struggling. But I need somebody who's really compassionate, genuinely compassionate, genuinely empathetic with me, telling me, oh, Pastor, oh, you know what? Last month I was in a certain situation. And because I know how it felt, I promise you, my brother, I am going to pray with you. I am going to support you. You're going to be my crying shoulder. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You need to surround ourselves with people who are going to speak positive about our lives, not people who are judgmental. Somebody who is already making a judgment even before they know of a story. You know, there are people in the, you know what, not here in this church, but you know what, maybe where you work. There are people who are very judgmental. Just because today you came with a shoe, you know, with an angle like this, they don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're trying to pay some bills and your shoe, they say, you know, they say, you know, they come and tell you, you know, even Salvation Army can donate a shoe for you. Come on now, give me a break. Don't criticize me. You never know what I'm going through. Why don't, if God has blessed you so much, why don't you go to Burlington and buy me a pair of shoes? Come on, am I talking to somebody? You know? If a woman walked in the church and their hair is not really well done, and you're criticizing them, and I know this one, does it, what's going on with this one? And you know what? You may have never, the most interesting thing, you may have never verbalized that, but in your heart you said it. And you know what? God knew it. And you said, what is wrong with this one? She's coming to church like this. And when you, oh, praise the Lord, my sister. But in your heart, you already crucified her. Brothers and sisters, listen, we have to take care of each other. Speak words that will build. Speak the words that will build somebody's destiny. Oh my God, you know what? When I was praying out here, I told God, God, forgive me. Forgive me even many times, even unknowingly, where I've been judgmental. Forgive me, my Lord, I raid on the foot of the cross. Help me, Lord, even to realize it is by the grace. There is nothing that I can boast about, children of God. Listen to me, anything that I have right now, oh my God, it could be maybe this suit. It could be maybe a beautiful tie. It could be maybe a pair of shoes. It could be maybe a nice car that I drive. It is by the grace of the Lord. And I can only boast of this one thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ has been so merciful to me. Glory be to Jesus. That's why, you know, when you go and you find a man like Johnson, and he tells you that his father died many, many years ago. His mother is struggling. You know, the government even won't allow him to stay in his home. We don't even know the situation. And I realized, you know what? I have my own struggles, but those struggles don't come close to what this man is going through. And you know what? I just look up and tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me for the complaining and the murmuring that I have been making. I have never spent a day on the streets. I don't even know what it feels to be bitten by mosquitoes. I don't even know how it is to be exposed to the elements, Lord. I know I have some trouble, but it doesn't come close to what other people are going through. Every single one of us here have some struggles of some nature. If you would be given an opportunity whereby you would not be scared or being afraid of what people would say about you, everybody would tell me something. Pastor, I need this desperately from the Lord. Pastor, there's this struggle. There's this thing that I do every day and I don't want to do it. Pastor, there's this thorn that has been a flesh and it has been a burden in my life. How can I get rid of it? Every single one of us has an issue. But you know what? We need to recognize the hand of God, because wait not for his hand, I would not be here standing here before you. What did that man told you? He's in the street and he has a myriad of diseases, congestive heart failure. I said, God, I never heard about this story. But I thank God because they already prayed for him. Everything is going to be well, Johnson. Everything is going to be. You know what? These people that came and touched you, Brandis and husband and their family, is just an extended hand of Jesus. That's how Jesus works. Somebody who brought in a blanket and gives you so that you are not exposed to the elements. It is Jesus' hand that is extended to you. And that is how Jesus' hand extends to you in all your situations. Are you listening to me? And that's why, you know what, church? Whenever we go through turmoils and situations that are so difficult, we need to recognize that it is by the hand of God that sustains us. It is by the hand of God. Let me tell you, it is by the hand of God that we are able to move and live and have our being. We can't do anything but by his strength. Glory be to Jesus. Words, 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 words can cause a wreck on your family. Words can cause a wreck on people's lives. Words have caused nations to rise against each other. Words caused 9/11. Words have caused governments to spend some unsurmountable amounts of money trying to protect themselves because of words. 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 But you know what? If you're with me on this journey, it is hard to disconnect ourselves from speaking about words and fail to speak about the condition of your heart. Are you listening to me? Because those words come out from your heart. What is this condition of your heart? What must we do so that we may be assured that the words that come out, because those words, and Jesus said, it is, you know, the disciples, the Pharisees criticizing Jesus about, you know, the disciples not washing their hands. And how do you go about with your disciples not washing your hands? And Jesus looked at them and told them, you know what, guys? It is not what comes into the man that defiles a man. But it is what does what? It is what comes out that defiles that man. In other words, the words that you can speak words that can bring judgment to yourself. But not anything that comes into you that defiles you. Praise be to God. So it is very, very important for us to know what is the condition of your heart. Is your spiritual heart healthy enough to produce words that are gonna be powerful enough to build or to move you or to push you, to accelerate you to your destiny? Is the condition of your heart healthy enough to produce words that are powerful to accelerate you to your destiny? What must we do in order to protect our hearts? And that's why we go to Proverbs 4:23. If you can go there real quick. Man, I hope we can finish this thing today. Proverbs 4:23. Somebody found it? If you found it, can you read it for us? Okay, keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now, last week we found that, you know, we protect so many things, right? You protect your children. You protect your assets. You only protect things that are very important to you, right? Is that not so? You know, I told you of a story, you know, how I had a little pickup car and I almost brought it to my car, you know, because in Kenya, back in Kenya, if you don't protect your assets, you'll find no wheel, the battery is gone, and actually maybe part of the front part of the car is already gone. The steering wheel and everything is really gone. So I was bringing it almost close, almost entering it, getting it in. Getting it in into the house, and Catherine will say, don't you trust God that God is going to protect this little car that you have? And by the way, this car is even very, very old, but that's the only thing I knew. Bringing it close to where my bedroom, you know, to the proximity where my window for my bed was. And many times, let me tell you, I thank God Catherine is not here, because many times, many times I would wake up. You know those ones of you wake up and you feel somebody really is now using the wrench, and you even feel here. You hear the wrench. Somebody is really removing my battery. And you really wake up and you say, no, children. You protect that which is important. You protect your assets. You don't protect things that are not important. Are you listening to me? You only protect your children. You protect your children. You don't want anything to happen to them. You protect your nice car. You make sure that you have polished it. You protect your body. You protect your financial instruments that you have. You protect anything. You put a really strong firewall so that, you know, the things that are essential to you, nothing would affect them, right? But Solomon, King Solomon, speaks to us in Proverbs 3:23, and he speaks and he says this, that above everything else, think about this. This is what he says. He says, above everything, you have protected your children. You've protected your assets. You've protected your financial assets. You've protected all these things. You've protected your children, everything. But above all these things, guard your heart. For out of it flows the issues of life. That means it doesn't matter whether you protect your whatever it is important to you. If you fail to protect this one thing, above everything that you protect, then we are losing the game. We are on our way to lose the game. Praise God. Above everything, guard your hearts with all diligence, for out of it flows. Somebody say flows. Flows the issues of life. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. It flows with the issues of life. Now listen to me. What are the contents of your hearts? Now, what really is in your heart? What really, you know, when I'm talking about the heart, I'm talking figuratively. I'm not talking about the physical boom baff, the heart, the physical. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spiritual, the core, that thing that is within you that holds your dreams, that holds up your visions, that holds up the core values of who you are. That's what I'm talking about. That thing that you cannot do without. You know, that thing that tells you it is time to move and it's time to make a step of faith, and you're going towards a point where God is speaking to you through. God speaks to you through your heart first before he can speak to your head. Are you listening to me? The Lord speaks to us not through our mind, but he speaks to us through our heart, and our heart communicates with your mind, and therefore you take a step of faith. Are you listening to me, church? So the heart, that thing within us that holds our core values, it holds our core values. It is a place where your dreams are birthed. It is a place where your desires and your passions live. They live in your heart.
It is a part of you that connects with God and with other people. And that is what King Solomon says, that you need to guard above everything. Guard it. Are you listening to me? He says, guard it. Now, since the heart is the home to your core values, dreams, passions, and thoughts, from it outflow, listen, from it outflow words that are translated into actions, that are translated into habits, that are translated into character, that translate you into the person that you are today. In other words, your destiny. So in other words, the words that, in that heart, you know, that heart that has your destiny, your visions, that needs to be protected above every other thing. It has thoughts, it has dreams, and when you it's so in abundance in there, it cannot contain, the bag is so heavy and it cannot be contained, and it has to create a stream, and that stream comes out in form of words. Are you listening to me? Now, those words, as you begin to speak them, you convert those words into actions. Right? Because, you know, when you say, you know what, you come together with your wife and you say, what? The Lord has spoken to me. I need to start a business. They begin at the point of inception. They emanate from your heart. Are you listening to me? Because that is the place of your dreams, the place of your visions. It is the place where your core value are. And so you begin to speak with your words. And the moment you speak those words, they begin to bring a creativity within them. And you begin, it's something in the supernatural, something that you cannot say. God picks up those words. Ah, glory to Jesus. He picks those words and you begin to act on those words. And the moment you start working on those words, you begin to act on them. And when you have this repeated thing, you're speaking them. That's why it's very important. You know what? Somebody told me, every time write your dreams. Write your dreams on the wall. Write your passions on the wall. Write your endeavors on the wall. Because every moment you see them, you know, your mind is revising them. He's revising them. And you're speaking them. Speak them aloud with your mouth. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Church, listen. If you don't go with anything out of this service, I would like everybody to take the things you want God to do for you this year. And I'm going to give you a scripture backing on that. That tells us what we ought to do. Write it, put it somewhere beautifully, and every single day be speaking those words. God, I need you to help me pass this examination. God, I help me pass this examination. I don't understand how the logistics of this physiological processes that this teacher is putting me. Lord, give me the ability. Let me tell you, sooner or later, it will begin to take hold. Somebody is laughing. I know they know what I'm talking about. You begin speaking. If you need a healing for your body, God, I'm claiming my healing. I'm claiming my healing. Sooner or later, those words will take ground and will begin to bring a creativity within your body. Because words are powerful. So words that you speak and you begin to act on them, they bring an action. And that action, when it is repeated, it brings in a habit. And when that habit is continually becoming part of you, it forms a character. That's why. Have you ever seen some people who really revere the presence of the Lord? Huh? I know you do. Do you revere the presence of the Lord? It is part of you. It is because, you know what? You have been taught the word of the Lord because, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And God will never be pleased by faith. So you need faith. So when you speak certain words, God picks up your faith and begins to work with that faith to activate certain things in our lives. And that's why you've been taught the word of the Lord. The moment you come into that door, you know this is the house of God. Amen? You don't come to God, you know, like you go to the club and shouting, oh, yeah! You come revering the presence of the Lord, right? We can do those other things when we are watching the game of SMU and TCU. I wanted to say TMU. I saw when we were invited, you know, people shout and yell. They lift up their limbs like this, you know. But when you come into the house of God, you have a respect for it. It is your character because you know what God has done in your life. And that character, he is part of you. And you know what? Because it is part of you, when you continue maintaining it and sustaining it, it leads you to a destiny that is rich. Oh, I know I'm speaking to just a few people who can grasp this and go with it. Since the heart is home to your core values, dreams, passions, and thoughts, from it outflow the words that are translated into actions, that translate into habits, that translate into character, that translate into the person you are today, destiny. So it all begins at your heart level. Are you listening to me? Somebody say the heart level. The heart level. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can say the heart or the heart. The heart level. Say whatever it is good for you. Just say it. You know what I'm talking about. The heart level. That's where it begins. The heart level. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I was never born here. So it begins at the heart level. At the heart level is where everything is crucial. I have to know the content of my heart, because from there it carries your destiny through that process. Are you listening to me? Very, 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 very important. Now listen. Turn into the book of Philippians 4, and I'm almost concluding now. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Philippians 4, verse number 6 to 7. Can somebody read if you have it? Okay, wherever now. Okay, read it for us, Julius.
Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? Man, listen. No, don't read your Bible now. Listen to me. That is the key. That is the key. How do we guard our hearts? Huh? First of all, is not by being anxious. What is being anxious? Wasi wasi. We say that in Swahili. If we know Miss Boyd and your family, wasi wasi is like anxiety. You know, you're worried about so many things. Oh God, what is this gonna? Oh, this one has not even. This is 15. The bill. It is just about. I don't even have money. My children. I received a report that they failed. Have you been in emotion like that? Everything is like Nikama Michelle, and it's like arrows coming from every direction, and you don't even know. The only thing you feel is like going to sleep. I've been in a situation like everything is coming left and right. Wow. And you wonder, wow, God, hey, you know, you're healed. Hey, you're receiving. Have you been there? But the Bible tells us, wow, do not be anxious over. Is it easy to say? Is it easily said than done, huh? But I'll tell you that it can be done. Because when you know, when you have faith in your God, when you have experiences in where God has brought you. You know, this morning I say, you know how many times we put down the parents so much, you know, and we castigate them. And people, preachers come and tell, oh, parents, you don't take care of your children. Give me a break, man. I mean, if you have a child who is maybe 2 or 3 years, or even more than that, you have been a daddy, you have been a mama to that kid. Do you know what the things that really go through before a child is even 19? My God. You know, the things that parents go through. It could be sickness. It could be maybe issues with a teenager. It could be issues with adolescents. You guys have gone through so much. And I salute you. I salute myself too. If nobody salutes me, I salute Catherine. We don't. Parents go through so much before their children are where they are. You know? Just recycle your mind. I mean, just, you know, play back that tape. You see the things that you've gone with that child. It could be sickness. I remember my son, sicknesses. Many times we spent in the hospital because I thought my son would die. He would never breathe. And now he's out of it. And many times we forget. Man, let me tell you guys. If you've gone through some certain issues, you know you can make it. Yeah, it is because it is by the Lord that that child is standing today. That child is not dead. I don't care what people are saying about that child. He is your child. You've been there for them. You've stood with them closely. And they've been bashed in school, and some teachers have disqualified them. And sometimes you felt like, you know what? You know what? You felt, why are they saying this? You carry that child 9 months. And that child is still strong right now. I don't know where. I don't care what they have been through. But you know the fact that you've been there. You've never abandoned them. You are with them. Even in tricky situations whereby things so look so blink and you're almost losing, and you didn't, even sometimes maybe in a communication, you felt like, if this one,
But you know what? Even after you said this one, you still love them. You know what? I'm talking to you because I'm a parent. And Ron can, is Ron here? No, he's not. So I can tell you. You know, there are many times I felt like, you know, I want to slap this boy and so that he goes through 360 because of how mad I felt about it. But you know what? At the end of the day, I felt, man, this is still the bones of my bones, my blood. I still love him, son. You know, you're going to make it, man. Don't worry about that teacher who is really bashing you that you cannot get mathematics. What can we do together? It's still my blood. Boy, sometimes, he gets out of, he looks cool and collected, but sometimes he can speak his mind too. He can, yeah. That's what they say, they can, you know. Oh, Dad, you know, this is not fair what you're trying to tell me. You know, but he's still my son. Spend so much time going through rearing these children. You have done that too. So do not allow anybody to tell you that you have not done anything. And let me tell you, this morning I was thinking, if every parent has gone through what they have gone with their children, surely there is nothing that is impossible. You know what we can dare? And remember the so many things God has brought you through. Situations whereby you almost thought that, you know what, this is it. And I am not moving forward. Everything has crumbled on me. The mountain seems to be melting over me. And this is it. But suddenly, there was that whisper from the Lord, and he came through at the nick of time, the 11th hour, and you live to see another day. That's why God says, do not be anxious over anything. When you know that, man, refer to your history. Refer to the things. You know why? I know you have made it. You're still here. Yeah, you're not dead. You're still here and you survived. Even though you are not able to pay that bill, you're still here. Even when the electricity was cut, you survived the night and you're still here. When they disconnected the water, you live to see another day. You're still here. You never died. What else do you mean? We've been through situations and stories, man. You know? So that's why the Lord tells you, do not be anxious over anything. But through prayer, oh my God, through prayer and supplication. The prayer of supplication is where you put across your requests to God. God, I need this. God, I need you to fix this. God, I'm tired of dealing with this every single day. Every time I put my hands on it, it crumbles. I need you to bring it now to your attention that you need to help me in this area. The God who has seen you bringing up your children, Pastor Francis, taking care of your children way back in Kenya where you're still here, the same God who did it. He is going to see you through, my brother. He is going to fulfill those desires. All he says, through prayer and supplication, make your request known to me. Because my name is the great I am. I know I am the beginning. I know the ending of everything before the beginning. I have been through your story. I have written your story before you experienced it. Therefore, make your request known unto me. Glory to Jesus. I'm speaking to somebody. Make your request known unto God and stand still and see the salvation of God. Oh, my goodness. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you might be surrounded by the walls of Jericho. And all we need to hear is the voice of the Almighty God. Go through the walls of Jericho 7 times. And on the 7th time surrounded, the 7 times, and you see your walls come down. If I've not convinced yourself you enough, you are alive, and that is reason for you to not be anxious over everything that you go through. It could be a situation that, you know, there are those situations that you go through that you don't even think anybody would understand. But God Almighty understands them. And there's nothing that he needs to learn about that situation. Don't you love that, Sister Charity? That even what you're going through, my sister, God doesn't need to even to open up, you know, in this problem, let me go to my shelf first of all, pull up a book to see what I need to do with this solution. And God pulls up a book and he says, okay, Charity Kimani, let me see. I think I need to give her 3 Panadols here and three per day. Okay. Sister, you talk to me about it. You know, I have your solution. No, God doesn't pull a prescription for you. But he says, I want to work with you. Just make your request known unto me. I know it. I know how to fix things. That is my business, fixing people's problems, because they are my children. I put a seal of ownership in them.
Are you listening to me? Oh, God, are you listening to me? Listen, listen, church. God is willing. And he says, when you do that, when you put your petitions across to me, and because I know you will not do that because you have your word, my word in yourselves, I will see the faith in you. And when I see the faith in you, I'll identify with it. And I will take those requests, and I, within my own timing, that it was going to be beneficial to you, I'm going to give back those requests to you. And therefore, when you have requested me, stand still and watch, and the peace that I give you shall guard your hearts. Glory to Jesus. It is all in the praying, it is in the interceding and putting our requests known to God. That is how we are going to guard our hearts. When you know that you know that you know that your God has been through in your life, he has sustained your children, has sustained your life, has given you money to pay, even have even surprised you, sent some people that you didn't even know to just show you unmerited favor, and he came through for you when you needed him most, and he never disappointed you. Then he, when you put your petitions across to him, he is a faithful God. And he says, when you do that, then I will give you my peace. And the peace that I give you shall help you to guard your heart. Somebody say amen. I need the peace to guard my heart. That is the first principle. That is the first principle. When I put across my request to God, it kind of automatically shuts my gates. You know, everybody has some gates. You have the ear gate. You have the eye gate. And the what you see can sometimes be deposited in your heart. But when you have in a relationship with God, even as you're waiting and tapping by on that Walmart line, you know on the Walmart, by the way, all Walmart. Have you been in those lines when they are very longer? By the way, I caution you, do not go to Walmart between the hours of 10 p.m. and 12. That's when they're closing the registers and the hours are very long. Especially when you're near the register, you have a tendency to see the naked women on those magazines. Rebuke them in the name of Jesus. I'm not looking at it right now. I rebuke you. I'm not looking at you. How do you know that? You guys have been in Walmart, seriously? Why do they put those things? Why do they not put them in the magazine shelf? Do they have to put them those things of Beyonce, you know, with half naked? I don't even know. I've never even met Beyonce, but I see her sometimes. And I'm rebuking that imagery that I'm looking at. I rebuke you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And because, you know, I know it's a weakness. I don't go to Walmart to shop in the Walmart. Not because of that, but you know what? You have to be wise. You have to be wise. When you want bread, go buy bread, go home. When you want some milk, go buy milk, go home. And look for a register that is not busy. Some of you have been looking at it, like, let me just follow this line because I know what I'm just going to see. It might entertain my idleness anyway. Rebuke that in Jesus' name. The eye gates and the ear gates, what you hear. What do you listen when you're driving through the 75? What do you listen? Huh? There's a lot of garbage out there. You know? I used to be on the truck, and I used to be so lonely. And let me tell you guys, you know, sometimes I speak things to you, I wonder even why I speak them, because I hope you don't go tell other people what, you know, my past is real crazy. And I'm on the freeway, Evangelist Boyd, and I'm feeling I need to laugh, and I don't know, I don't have nobody. And so I would tune to this Spanish channel. I don't know what they are saying, but they would say, como se conoría. And they would say things, and every time they would say, I think they were kind of like a funny radio station. And I loved it because every time, even though I never understood what Spanish is, I love it to laugh. And I said, at the point, I said, what if they are saying something evil and they are laughing and I'm laughing at it? I quit listening to that channel because I didn't understand it. So what are you listening? You know, when are you listening? When everybody has gone to sleep, you know, and you're flipping channels, especially men, we are good at that. 323, 323, and you hear, no, TBN. Hey, praise Jesus. Hey, why are you not coming to bed? You know what I just said. What do you listen when everybody is not there? Let me tell you, what you listen ends up being deposited in your heart unknowingly. What you listen gets deposited. And you know what? At some point, if we don't cleanse ourselves or the contents of what we listened, you are going to say it maybe in your dream when your wife is really wide awake and you're saying some things and she wonders, is this Pastor Tony? Is this Julius? Julius, Julius, what do you want? Wake up. What did you say? Muruti, what did you say? What did you say? What did you say, my pastor? What did you say? Watch it. Oh, what did I say? What did I say, Makaranja? What did I say? Oh, and you're sweating and you're sweating. You're being strangled. So what you listen to get deposited in your heart. Are you listening to me? Yeah? If you read the word of God, that's what is going to get deposited. And so you'll be dreaming like, man, I had this dream the other day. You know, we were, and every time I see you, Purity, we knew it's like we are journeying to heaven. You know, and the people who are going and they had their bags smartly dressed. Saints, I saw some of you and you were going. And I felt if I would be walking, I'd be smiling and my wife would be like, yeah, what's happening, Pastor Tony? You know, I'm going to heaven. And she'll be knowing that, you know what, I think he's taking care of his business. He's putting the right material inside your hearts. Are you listening? You know, this might be humorous, but whether you know it or not, whatever you watch, your eyes, your ears, your mind, whatever you allow yourself to meditate, ends up being deposited in your heart. And so when we get in tune with the Lord, oh, can we stand up, please? Stand up, please. Our time is far much gone. Stand up on your feet. Stand on your feet. That is enough. That is enough. Praise God. Amen. Let me tell you, if words will determine your destiny, then don't you think that when Solomon, the man who was the wise, he was so wise, nobody even came close to his wisdom. And he said, you know what? Above everything, including the things that the Lord gave him, but he says, above everything, guard your heart. Now, you can unguard your heart by the things you watch, the things you listen to, the people you surround yourself to, and also by not praying. Because prayer and supplication, the Bible says when but do not be anxious over anything, but through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto me, and I will give you a peace that will guard your heart. Church, we cannot do without prayer. We cannot live a life where we don't tell God the things that we need. Because for sure, he is the one who is a supplier. He supplies all the good things that you've ever wanted. And when we are in tune with God, he is able to seal those gates so that even you can be looking at that half naked woman and it has none effect on you. Because of what your brain has been tuned to. You can be looking at that image and you can be praying over those women and you can be telling God, God, may you save this generation. My God, I pray for everybody who comes by this line and who might look at this and might be distorted. I pray that you shall shift their mentality so that their minds will be tuned to you. Lift up your right hand right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and I bless you for this, your sons and daughters. Father, I thank you for speaking to us, Lord, about words. Words are important. Words. Words, you spoke them, Lord, and you created this world, Father God, from an unseen realm, Lord. You spoke into things in the unseen realm, into things that we could see. Therefore, when we speak words, help us to know that when we speak those words, Lord, we call things that are not as if they are. And we have the ability to create our miracles through words. Words that we speak to our wives and to our husbands, to our children, to our friends. Let those words be filtered. Let them go under the speechometer of heaven, Father God, when we speak them, that we may know that we are representatives of the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus. I pray for everybody who was in the listening of my sound this day, Lord. I pray that you shall help us. Help us to repent even where we spoke words, Father, that were hurtful. Words that were bashful. Words that were incorrect. Words that we cannot reverse now. Help us to repent and help us, Lord, even to start again. I thank you because the destinies of this, your children, are bright. And no devil is going to come and take them away from you. The enemy will do anything to fight the contents of the heart. And he would open up floodgates of evil to come and unleash rivers of evil into their hearts. But I refuse and come against any kind of activity from the kingdom of the devil in the name of Jesus. I pray for the spirit of discernment that will be able to discern the good and the bad in the name of Jesus. We'll be able to discern, Father God, whatever we